Blog Talk Radio.
But then it's like, you know, I'm kind of wondering, do they know how Keri Hines fits into this? Because you have been part of a media, I won't say frenzy, you've been part of the media and made some very, very important inroads and, you know, connections that I think that somebody needs to explore and write about or talk about or tell about. So I'm thankful that you're going to help me look back and kind of document some of the things that you have contributed to media and some of the people and lives that you've touched, because I think it's really important and people don't know because you're so humble. And if you would, just indulge me and share with the listeners some of the things that you do as Keri Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Keri Hines.
Hair radio. Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Keri Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carafe Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
By. Hope the winds of change will change your mind. I could give a thousand reasons why, and I know you, and you've got to make it on your own, but we don't have to grow up, we can stay forever young. Dipping on my sofa, drinking rum and cola underneath the rising sun. I could give a thousand reasons why, but you're going, and you know that all you have to do is stay a minute, just take your time. The clock is ticking, so stay. All you have to do is wait a second, your hands on mine. The clock is ticking, so stay.
Stay.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines. Stay tuned.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout-out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Ragland is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
Favorite guest. I've been asked who my favorite guest is, or who were some of the interviews that really kind of stick out with you, or some kind of variation thereof. I'm Carrie Hines, and I have to say, in honor of looking at our big milestone of the Hair Radio Morning Show, it's given me some time to reflect. And I wanted to share some of these reflections with you guys, the fans of the broadcast. Let me say, thinking about guests, it gives me that doing the Hair Radio Morning Show is a great joy because I get to live out, meeting my heroes, growing up and listening to amazing singers, watching amazing television actors and movie stars, and then getting an opportunity to literally talk to them, and they know my name. It's been extraordinary. And so to think some of the most influential artists of our time, we've had an opportunity to welcome right here to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Folks like, of course, the legendary multi-Grammy award-winning We Are the World singer, Miss Dionne Warwick, who worked, of course, on that project with Lionel Richie, Michael Jackson, Tina Turner, Cyndi Lauper, Diana Ross. The list just goes on and on and on. And so to have this amazing artist, Miss Warwick, to even know who I am, let alone to join me live on the Hair Radio Morning Show for a special interview, was quite remarkable. And now, I had already interviewed Dionne's sister, Dee Dee, who had passed away several years back. And I had interviewed Dee Dee twice. And Dee Dee's voice to me, I never will forget her voice. It sounded so much like Dionne's voice. So this was great. When I had a chance to talk to Dionne prior to me conducting the interview, I remember I had a chance to catch Ms. Warwick's ear, and I said, you know, I interviewed your sister Dee Dee, not once but twice, and it was always one of my favorite interviews, just the most beautiful voice. And so you know, they had a big group, the Drinker Sisters and all of that. And so, great thing. So when I'm asked about my favorite guest, Dionne Warwick has to be way up high.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of the Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand, completely living off of black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. There means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our black community my life. The black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring black hair care back. There are great black hair care companies that exist, black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the black community can own the biggest black hair care brands, that the black community can own black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in black neighborhoods, and black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the black hair care products that only black people use, and they are not owned by black people. So I've issued the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, "Hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge," and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a black-owned company.
Coming soon, don't miss the brand new Hair Radio streaming network show, I Love the 90s. Take a listen back to interviews of the biggest names in music, including CeCe Peniston. Tony Terry.
It's for real, what I feel.
And of course, Destiny's Child. Tune in and enjoy the memorable moments with the Hair Radio and their lineup of amazing artists telling their stories, giving insights, and of course talking hair and beauty right here on Hair Radio.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. I'm Carrie Hines, and today's topic is on the subject of hair loss. And we'd like to welcome to Hair Radio Dr. Linda Amerson. Doctor, welcome to Hair Radio.
Thank you so much, Mr. Hines, for having me today.
Well, we're glad that you're here. Now, along with myself, you also, we have a special treat, Darlene Alexander, who is the Vice President of Heavenly Essence, Inc. Now, they're the creators of Purity Hair Care Products. Is on the line as well, and she'll be co-hosting with us. So a special treat for us and the listeners of Hair Radio. Darlene, welcome to Hair Radio.
Oh, thank you, Carrie, for having me here today. I really appreciate it.
Well, listen, we want to jump on in.
to this very, very big subject. And I guess the first thing that we probably want to do is to tell everyone that hair loss is so vast, and there's so many different parts to it. But if we must break it down and start at the beginning, and Darlene, you can certainly jump on in, but I'm thinking that, Dr. Emerson, maybe it would be a good idea for you to tell everyone about or what exactly is alopecia and the general topic of hair loss.
Okay, absolutely. Alopecia is the medical term for hair loss, and it is a very broad umbrella for several different categories of alopecia, and many consumers do not realize that. And sometimes that is not always conveyed in a very layman's term to them, that just because one person has one category, the other person may have something totally different or a combination of different types of alopecia. So what I do in my practice, I am a doctor of trichology, which means I have furthered my education, and my level is directly below dermatology and right above cosmetology and barber styling. So I actually get to the root of the problem by incorporating microscopes to give an accurate diagnosis. I look at internal factors as well as external factors, which is very, very important to have regrowth possible at all.
Absolutely. Now, would you tell us a little bit on what some of those internal factors might be?
Some of the internal factors may include nutrition. Now, nutrition is a very, very important factor. Other factors could be mechanical, such as the type of heat appliances that a person uses, whether it's the flat iron or the curling iron or the waving iron, et cetera. These are also contributors to some of the scalp damage and hair damage that I see on a daily basis.
Now, how much of this, just to kind of go back a little bit, Dr. Emerson, how much of this would you say is a real problem, like say for the general public? Do you have any idea how many people are actually suffering with hair loss, just overall, just an idea?
Yes, absolutely. The latest statistics is over 80 million Americans are affected with some form of alopecia.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow, that is amazing. Now, Dr. Emerson, when you said that, you stated about the types of alopecia, now, can a person also have two types of alopecia?
Oh, absolutely. There can be multiple types of alopecia and scalp disorders that occur simultaneously.
Okay.
For example, I've seen cases where they may have alopecia areata, they may have seborrheic dermatitis, they may have telogen effluvium, they may have inflammation of the scalp, erythema, pruritus, as well as hair breakage. So
yes.
So that is definitely a possibility.
Wow. Wow. Now, what are some of the treatments for these types of alopecia?
That depends on, I take it on a case-by-case basis.
Okay.
I look at the most, if it's in just a scalp condition, for example, if a person comes in and they complain about their scalp is just itching profusely, and I see bacterial infections on the scalp, I see hair breakage, hair thinning, inflammation, and pruritus, well, the most severe condition needs to be assessed first, which is the bacterial infection.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that I will address first. Once that is cleared, the scalp is much healthier.
Right.
And then we can concentrate on the hair regrowth process. I find that so many consumers, they want to just focus on the hair regrowth.
Yes.
And they do not think the importance of the scalp is as vital as it should be. So that is something that I constantly have to educate my patients and other consumers, that a healthy scalp is utmost the utmost vital to a healthy hair.
Wow. That is just very interesting, very interesting. Wow.
Well, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, today the topic discussion is on hair loss, and I am co-hosting today's program with Darlene Alexander. Now, she is the Vice President of Heavenly Essence, Inc., and they're the creators of Purity Hair Care Products. And you can, of course, reach them at heavenlyessence.net. And we'll be talking with Darlene a little bit more about that in just a little bit. Now, along with Darlene, I'm so very proud to have with us today a very special person. She is an expert in this arena. Her name is Dr. Linda Emerson. And, Doctor, we again welcome you to Hair Radio.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
It's our pleasure to have you. Now, we so much appreciate a lot of the light that you're shedding on this, and we know it's a ginormous and vast topic, and there are so many different layers to this. What are some of the resources that you might suggest for someone who thinks that they are, you know, dealing with hair loss? Where might you direct them to find it?
I definitely suggest for them to seek an expert, such as a board-certified trichologist, to actually get to the root of the problem. Because I find that so many consumers, they want to first ask their family members, they want to ask their friends, and then they go online and YouTube. So they look on YouTube, and there's a lot of misinformation that's on YouTube. And that's another thing that I educate my patients and clients on. Don't believe everything that you see on YouTube. There are so many concoctions that are on there, and then there are also a lot of non-professionals who are telling their journey of how they are transitioning from, you know, the relaxer to the natural hair, and they consider themselves experts, and they are not. What I find is I see, you know, quite a different, I would say, different ethnicities that come into my clinic. In the natural hair community, I get a lot of questions about their hair. Once I show them under my microscope that their scalp is unhealthy and that there are other conditions present there, they are just so amazed because they have been focusing so much on their hair, and their scalp has lacked the vital cleansing and proper care that will help with healthier hair growth and the hair just looking healthier overall. And
well, my big question to you, I was thinking all of this time, I'm thinking, is there anyone who would be able to avoid hair loss? It seems like hair loss affects almost everybody on some level or shape or form or fashion. So I was thinking, what could be done? Is there anything we can do to avoid hair loss? And then I just heard you mention about healthy hair and scalp, so I'm thinking that that's probably something that jumps out at me. But I'll ask you, Dr. Emerson, what are some of the things, if there's anything that we can do to, you know, kind of avoid having hair loss to begin with?
That is a question that it really depends on a case-by-case basis, because not everyone falls into the same category, and then there are also medical conditions that must be analyzed. There are several, another example, there are so many consumers that take prescription medications.
Yes.
Over 300 medications have a side effect of alopecia and hair thinning, and some of them even scalp conditions. So those must be factors. There must be factors as far as hairstyles. You know, we know that the lace front wigs are very, very prevalent. When a person starts to thin, they want to go to the hair coverings, the hair enhancements. instead of getting to the root of the problem, to seeing what's really causing or contributing to this. Is it nutritional? Is it medications? Is it the chosen hairstyle that they've been wearing for 10, 20 years and they haven't changed that look? So it really depends on a case-by-case basis. It's the best way I can answer that.
Yes. Okay. Now, Dr. Emerson, what about, you spoke about nutrition.
Yes.
What type do you recommend for people that who needs to improve their diet in order to have that healthy hair and healthy scalp?
Well, definitely avoiding as much fast foods and fried foods is one recommendation. Eating more fruits and vegetables, that will help. You're nourishing the body. So when you're nourishing the body, this also helps to feed the papilla, and this in turn can feed and nourish the hair and the scalp. So looking internally is one of the main factors. Also, enough protein in your diet.
Right.
Protein is very, very important. So those are just some of the recommendations that I would say.
Now, also, Dr. Emerson, excuse me. Now, let's say the person is getting the right types of foods and fruits and vegetables and the adequate amount of protein, but they're still losing their hair. The one thing I just wanted to find out if this is a myth or if it is fact. When there's an organ in our body that is lacking certain nutrition, aren't those vitamins and nutrients going to go to that organ before it goes to the hair follicle?
Absolutely. The body is going to absorb and distribute the nutrition internally first. And if something is lacking, yes, it's going to give that particular organ or area inside the body more of the nutrients that needs. So whatever is left over will be transported through the bloodstream to nourish the hair and scalp. And in many cases, it is not enough nutrition that's being absorbed into the system. And this is something that I can see microscopically under my polarized microscope.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Absolutely amazing. Well, Dr. Emerson, just wanted to talk a little bit specifically on if you could explain briefly maybe about the areata, the alopecia areata, if you will. We have a couple of guests who will be joining us in just a little bit, and we wanted to talk a little bit more about that as well.
Yes, alopecia areata is most commonly known as an autoimmune type of alopecia condition. The onset has many different triggers. Sometimes I have seen family members who have had this particular condition, and then it is predisposed. So there may be a generation that this particular condition may skip, and then the grandchildren may be affected. I've seen many cases of that. And then sometimes trauma to the scalp is a trigger. And excessive emotional stress can be another trigger. So that particular condition affects over 10% of the American population. So this is something I see very, very common in men, women, as well as children.
Now, what about the diffuse alopecia?
The diffuse alopecia occurs when the hair begins to shed excessively, and there are usually long strands that will be combed out or either fall out of the hair. When a person may run their fingers through their hair, and they notice an excessive amount of hair in their hand. This is known as diffuse alopecia. That is usually from an internal cause.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, again, we have to go back maybe 3 months to see what may have occurred during that time frame. Because usually the cycle, when it affects the hair, it takes approximately 3 to 4 months for us to really see
right.
an indication that there was some type of change or systemic mm-hmm. problem or something that may have occurred within their system. And then we see it at a later time within the hair strand.
Okay. Wow. Well, again, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Broadcast Network. I'm Carrie Hines, and I'm co-hosting today with the great Darlene Alexander. And we both have on the line with us Dr. Linda Amerson, who has been providing some great foundation of knowledge for us in terms of hair loss and some of the myths that are out there and kind of dispelling those. Dr. Amerson, first of all, again, we want to thank you so very much for being with us today on the Hair Radio Show. And is there anything that, you know, in the way of maybe kind of closing out that we would be able to, you know, maybe inspire or to, you know, is there anything that's new on the way that we can say, hold on to those folks out there who are dealing with, you know, so very much on the subject of hair loss and dealing with this?
Well, you know, research is constantly ongoing. The last research that I was informed about that is taking place is with a product, the Lactice product. It was very popular for helping to grow the eyelashes several years ago. Well, then there is some testing that has been ongoing to see if it will also assist with the scalp hair regrowth. So that's something that's on the way. And at this time, that's the only product that I am aware of that's considered new in the market.
Well, we're going to tell everyone to keep it right here and tuned in to Hair Radio, and we will certainly let everyone know of any breakthroughs on the subject. And Dr. Amerson, how would folks find you if they're interested in looking and following up with you?
Absolutely. I can be contacted. My clinic is LA's Hair and Scalp Clinic. I am at 2304 West Pioneer Parkway, suite number 6 in Arlington, Texas. My phone number is 817-265-8854. That's 817-265-8854. My website is hairandscalpessentials.com. That's hairandscalpessentials.com. My email is Dr. Amerson at hairandscalpessentials.com. You can find me on Twitter. My handle is at Scalp Doctor. Also, I'm on Facebook, Dr. Amerson's Therapeutic Essentials, LLC. All of those medias, I may be contacted.
And you can always come to Hair Radio and ask us how to find Dr. Amerson as well, and we will certainly connect them as well. Dr. Amerson, I want to thank you so very much for being with us today. And just beginning, and I'm hoping that you'll come back as we move a little further along with this subject and come back to the Hair Radio Show and share some more of your wonderful insight.
Absolutely. It will be my pleasure to return. And again, thank you so much for this opportunity, Mr. Hines and Ms. Darlene Alexander. Thank you also.
I have a product called Organic Love Collection Shea Butter. It's a sensual shea butter. And once you apply it, it reinvigorates the skin. It takes care of blemishes, hyperpigmentation. It has all kinds of beautiful oils in it. And what it does for the hair, the nails, and the skin is to renew it and to make you feel beautiful, and moreover, to restore you to self-love and self-care. We're a Christian organization, and we're in the community trying to educate people on eczema, psoriasis, breaking hair, alopecia, things of that nature. And this product is a cure-all for the whole family. If you grab the jar or the bottle, it comes in a liquid and solid. It deals with eczema within 3 days. The longest it'll take is 7 days to restore your skin. And most of all, it's great for the scalp and very uplifting to the hair. It keeps the hair moist and free of breakage, and moreover, manageable. So as you work with it, if you have natural hair, it won't break. And if you have permed or color processed hair, it'll continue to allow for it to have the elasticity it needs so that your mane grows beautiful and healthy. Currently, we are on social media. We're a business that's just starting out. So I started on Instagram, once again, Instagram. Awesome. And the name of the company is Organic Love Collection. And we can also be found through Instagram on Big Cartel. So the product could be purchased at organiclovecollection.bigcartel.com.
Repeat that one more time.
organiclovecollection.bigcartel.com.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. Now, we have a very, very special guest with us today. He's from the world of music. You know him well. The Hair Radio Morning Show would like to welcome the one and only Mr. Tony Terry. Good morning.
Hey,
good morning.
Hey,
yeah.
How are you? How's it going?
Well, I'm doing great. It is awesome to have you on the show. We
My
finally got
here.
You here. Yes. Awesome. Well, listen, this music, your music, has touched so many folks. I'm raising my hand right now, folks out there. It has. It really has. It resonates with everybody. You've been, you know, you really put the time in, and you've had a remarkable career. So we're going to get into all of that. I'm going to find out what you're doing now. We want to know everything, Mr. Tony Terry.
All right. Okay.
All
I'll
right.
give you the unsung version.
There you go. And by the way, I've heard some of that, and I've watched a lot of this and done my little research and all that stuff, so we're ready. The
okay,
first
great.
Thing that that really jumps out at me, of course everybody knows, you know, just one of your biggest hits, of course, was that amazing song With You.
Mm-hmm.
And but before we get there, I want to talk about the first album.
Okay.
Because
okay.
you had some hits on there.
I did. You know, it was really interesting, my journey to even putting out a first album, because I was, let me give you the succinct version as tightly as I possibly can of
okay.
what happened. So I had been in New York for a couple of years, and I had auditioned for the off-Broadway show Mom, I Wanna Sing a few times and had gotten turned away. And the last time that I went, that I didn't want to go and didn't care if I was in the show at all at that point, of course, I made it.
Wow. And you were probably
show.
In the version I saw, too.
Yeah.
I saw
maybe,
it one time.
Yeah. I was in with Deatra Hicks was playing.
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I was probably there. And,
wow.
And so I did that for a few years, and I was about to just kind of, you know, just go home, actually, back to D.C., and I had decided that enough, you know, it wasn't really going the way that I wanted it to, and I was going to go back to D.C. And so maybe a day or two before I was supposed to leave, one of my buddies was like, we're going to see this band. And he took me to the Danceteria, which I don't think is open in New York anymore. And there was the place was packed. And there was this band playing, and they were good. And, you know, I'm young and, you know, cocky probably. And I told him after the set, and he came to ask me, you know, what I thought of his band. And I told him, I thought they were great, except they were missing something. And that something was me. And so he was like, okay, here's your time to shine. So I started singing maybe a Luther Vandross song or something in this packed basement of this club. And this gentleman turned around, who I had never met before, but it turns out he was Ted Currier. And Ted's claim to fame was Atomic Dog that he had produced, and you know, a whole George Clinton stuff. And he was one of the first DJs, if not the first DJ, to do live dance mixes in New York at 92 KTU.
Of course, KTU.
Yeah, back in the day. And but I didn't know all of that at this time. And so he gave me his card and asked me to give him a call. And I held on to his card. I didn't go back to D.C. I held on to his card maybe a week or so. And I called him late at night. I just, you know, figured that he was a musician like me and he was probably going to be working. And so I called him, and he was excited to hear from me, like, what took so long for me to call him? And he invited me to come over to a session he was working on. And I was in East Orange at the time. So
I had to catch the
I had to catch the bus to the path to the subway to 42nd Street, and then walk up.
See, and I understand that, and most of folks in New York, New Jersey area, we know what you mean, and especially
right,
if you're
right.
in Jersey.
Right. It was a bit of a journey.
Yes. Okay.
So I finally get there, and I walk into the studio, and Ted has Parliament Funkadelic in there working.
Wow.
And I am starstruck, mesmerized. You know, I hadn't seen anything like that before. I was a huge fan. I still am of their work. A huge fan of their work. And but let me say this: I understood what funk music really came from, and I'm just going to leave it there.
All right, I kind of got that. Okay.
And so I met one of my boys there who actually, his name was Daryl Moe. Daryl Moe was a young musician at the time who was in the very first show that brought me from D.C. to the area, to New Brunswick, actually, Crossroads Theater, where we were doing Black Nativity. And after about 4 weeks in of rehearsal, this young man in the band came up to me and said, "I don't know about these other cats, but you are a star." And I never thought about that before. I never even considered, you know, I was a part of this crew that had came up to New Jersey from D.C., you know, in pursuit of our careers, in pursuit of our dreams. But to think that I was a star, I mean, I was in the ensemble, you know, so to be picked out by anybody probably at that age and recognize that, you know, something as big as being considered a star would be like, wow.
That's huge.
Yeah, and something I had not even considered, even though I had been pursuing this thing of being an entertainer for a long time. Didn't never really think be a star. Just wanted to work.
Wow.
And so after the show was over, I started working with him, and we wrote my very first demo. It was called Don't Hold Back. And he and I he shopped it to Ted Curry. I played it for Ted Curry. Ted thought it was a great record, and then that started it. So I came down to the studio, and he had Parliament in there, and he said, Daryl said, "Ted, if you put my boy in the booth, you'll fire all them jokers." You know, it's like typical New Yorkerican kind of energy.
Yeah.
And so Ted was like, "Really? Well, let's see." And I'm thinking, really? Seriously, Daryl? And so he puts me in the booth, sure enough. And I was ready, and he did fire Parliament. And I did end up doing that project for the Boogie Boys on Capitol Records called Survival of the Freshest. And it was actually the first R&B album, I mean the first rap record that incorporated R&B hooks. It started that whole thing. And
that's amazing.
I mean, at the time, I didn't realize it was so amazing.
That is, wow.
And so while I was recording, Ted's wife says, "Tony," she spoke a lot like Michelet. "Tony, Tony."
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Really little mousy voice.
Yeah, no more lies. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah, we know her well.
You know, really small voice, and she asked me to come in and sing for this group of people that were in one of the rooms. And I didn't think to be nervous. I was already in there recording. I didn't know who they were. So I didn't have a problem walking into the room and singing, you know, a song for them. And so I did. And it turns out that those people were management at Capitol Records. And they offered me a deal right away. Seven albums.
Holy cow. That's
so
unheard of. That's now they.
I know.
It kind of was unheard of then. I mean, seven.
It was unheard of then. And,
absolutely.
Again, I wasn't, I didn't know that I was auditioning. So I wasn't nervous. I wasn't anxious. I was warmed up. I was ready for this. And, that's what happened. And so the gentleman who would be responsible for me, in terms of A&R was fired soon after I was signed. And their intention was for me to delve into Nat King Cole's catalog. And record and, you know, restructure or find some of these classics. And I was 19, 20, so I didn't
Because he was the main Capitol big-time artist.
But
wasn't
I was
he?
Ignorant
yeah,
to that. He
yeah.
built Capitol Records.
Right, exactly.
And I was ignorant to that fact at that time.
Wow.
And I was just not interested in recording Nat King Cole's catalog. Now, in retrospect, I think that probably would have been a good idea to consider. I don't know what it would have been, but, you know, at least to give it a shot. But I wasn't really – I didn't think that I had enough – you know, I was like, Nat King Cole, come on. I was 19. So you can imagine, I just was not in the Nat King Cole frame of mind.
Well, listen, it took Natalie a while herself to record Nat King Cole, to tackle
right.
Nat King Cole's music, so I can understand
right.
that.
But now, you know, I can hear it. Mona Lisa,
oh, yeah.
Mona Lisa, men have named you. I can hear it.
Wow.
But then I couldn't. And so the guy was fired, and he was rehired at Epic.
Oh.
His name is Don Grierson, and he convinced Epic to buy my contract from Capitol before
wow.
I even sang a note.
That is amazing.
It's like, wow, so all this money, all these, you know, is it really that much money? Did they really pay that much money to buy me from them
wow.
in terms of my contract? Because when you
right.
say buy me, it kind of sounds a little weird. But
no, we
contract,
get it. Wow.
Buy my contract, and yeah, so... When I was moved over to Epic, I was there with Michael Jackson, Luther Vandross, Tina Marie.
Wasn't that Sony, or didn't it become Sony or something?
Yeah, it was Sony Epic, and they also had Columbia at the time. They had Mariah Carey on the other side on the Columbia
side.
Oh,
my God.
So it was like
amazing.
This guy, they have signed me, and then once they had me over there, they didn't know what to do. Like, well, okay, we got him now. Now what? And it turns out that the head of the A&R department at Epic was Johnny Gill's godfather. And all he talked about was Johnny Gill all day, every day. And so it was clear that I was not going to get his full
attention.
You
weren't going to be, right. Yeah.
And then we put out She's Fly, and it caught everybody by surprise. No one expected it. And there was like, okay, we see something, but not sure what yet. And then it was Lovey Dovey, and
She's Fly was a huge, like you said, a huge hit. I mean, that's a top 10 hit.
It was, and but they still weren't convinced. The label wasn't convinced, and somebody's calling me. I should have had my phone on Do Not Disturb. I'll call them back. I will ignore them.
That's okay.
Anyway,
that's all
anyway,
right.
So. It just went on, you know, so we had three singles off of the first album. She's Fly, Lovey Dovey, actually four, and Forever Yours, which was the title cut.
Yes.
And then we had, I believe, Young Love was on that first album as well.
And Lovey Dovey charted even higher than
it did.
She's Fly, so that's amazing.
It did.
Yeah.
It did. Okay, so now it's time for the second album. And,
yes.
And the first
But were you nervous, though? Because everybody always says about the sophomore thing, or what is it, the sophomore slump thing and this and that.
You know when they say ignorance, ignorance is bliss. I didn't know anything about all of that. I did know it as it related to theater, because usually opening night is the adrenaline.
I never knew that it related to theater. That's amazing.
Usually the night after opening night is,
they call it
after opening night blues, because the second night is usually not nearly as good as the opening night.
Wow.
And then it picks
Thank
up.
You
the
educated
from there.
Me. Thank you. Oh, you really have, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why later.
Yeah. It's time to choose the first single from the second album, which was self-titled, was Head Over Heels. And it was time to choose the second single, and I had chosen With You. And the label didn't agree. They called me in for a meeting.
I can't believe they didn't agree. But
they did not
agree.
I mean, they were, I wouldn't say forceful, but you know, they stood where they stood. They didn't think it was a good idea.
Ahead.
And I just wouldn't let it go. I was like, nope. I think it should be With You. And they couldn't. And in fact, I remember clearly hearing the president at the time of the label say, Tone, only Stevie Wonder could get away with a song like this. I was like, yeah, okay, well, let's just see. And
wow.
And so they put it out. But I think that in an effort to teach me a lesson, they put out with you with you know, back in the day, there was a whole setup. You know, there was a rollout for a single or an artist, you know, the whole setup thing, which did not happen for With You. And it was also
like the promotion that goes along with it when the record is released.
Didn't happen.
Yeah.
Didn't happen. And when they, you know, your promotion, your marketing team that actually services radio, which happens on usually one day a week, and if you can imagine back in the day, there were 40 or so major labels. So you have 40 reps from those labels going to, let's say, WBLS, and they probably have only 5 slots for new singles this week. But you got 40 people vying for those 5 slots. Okay. So my record was serviced to radio with no information on it.
Just sent. Just.
It was a blank label. Which to me would have made it stand out even more, because you're getting a plain label, unmarked vinyl 12-inch single from Epic Records. What could that be? And you don't put anything on it.
It might have worked in favor.
I believe it did, because then With You started to live. It started without any support from them. There was not going to be a video. There was none of that. And then one day I happened to walk into my manager's office, and the phone was ringing, and maybe our receptionist had gone to the bathroom or something. I don't know. She wasn't there. And I answered the phone, and it was Anita Baker. She was looking for me. And I didn't
Superstar
know Anita Baker.
Anita Baker was calling herself.
Herself. She was like, this is Anita Baker, and I'm looking for Tony Terry. And I'm thinking, get out. First of all, just couldn't possibly be Anita Baker.
Had you guys worked together or anything?
I did not know her.
Wow.
Had never met her before. Had never even had a conversation with her before that moment.
Wow.
And I was a fan of hers, but, you know,
of course,
didn't know her.
Yeah.
So she called, and I honestly did not believe that I was speaking to Anita Baker. But I went along with it. Okay.
Right.
But it would have made sense, because she was calling my office, and actually our receptionist would have taken the call, and then it probably would have gone to my managers, and then maybe gotten
it would have gone to a few folks, right?
Yeah. But I got the call. And
wow.
And then she was like, Tony, this is Tony? I was like, yeah, this is Tony. And she said, I was awakened last night, one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard in my life. And I had done The Party Machine, which used to come on after the Arsenio Hall show.
I think I remember that.
Yeah. And she said, what is going on? And I was like, well, first of all, thank you for, you know, calling. I still wasn't sure, convinced that I was talking to Anita Baker. But, I went in to tell her, went on to tell her that, you know, I appreciated the phone call. And, you know, thank you for, you know, enjoying the music. And there was not going to be a video because the label didn't think it was a hit. And she was like, what? Those people wouldn't know a hit if it hit them in the forehead. And she said, she made another comment. I don't know if I should repeat it, but I'm going to say it because she said, I'm on the label with Keith Washington, and Keith could not shine your shoes.
Okay, if you're out there listening, Keith, we still love you.
I love Keith. He's one of my boys. Nice,
yeah.
What Miss Wade
said
to me.
No, we.
And I thought, wow.
Absolutely.
She said, why? What, I don't understand. And so, listen, Tony, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you $50,000. And I want you to shoot the video. I need to see a video. And I was like, what?
Wow.
What am I supposed to, like, how do I pay you back? How do we do this? She's like, don't even worry about it. Just blow up. Just be the star that you are. Just be the star that you are. And, you know, and then the check came certified for $50,000. And she said she was going to call Blair Underwood because she wanted him to direct. Turns out With You was his directorial debut. And he was in it. And, it was, it was, if you've seen the video, it's because...
Seen it? We've worn it out.
Because, you know, yes. I call her my guardian angel because, and you know what's really interesting? Because moving forward 20, 25 years, the Monique Show, which was being recorded here in Atlanta at the WB, I think it was. And I had been on as a guest and performed, and we had heard that Anita Baker was coming. And my mother-in-law is and was a huge fan. And, of course, so are we. So I contacted the show and told them I wanted to come back and, you know, be in the audience when she came. And they put us on the front row. And so she comes out and she sings her song, you know, and she's all into it. She got her eyes closed. And just at the end of the song, she sings, "Sweet love, don't you ever go away." And she opens her eyes and we make eye contact. And she sees me and I can see her recognize me. I saw that in her
voice,
in her expression. And then they cut to commercial, and she calls Monique over, and they clearly are having a conversation that I would think was about me because they were looking at me. And you know, and so it comes back from the commercial break, and Monique says, you know, during the commercial break, Miss Baker told me this story about, you know, giving this brother here, this young man, Tony Terry, and she introduced me, you know, $50,000 to shoot the video for With You. And then she asked Miss Baker, "Why did you do that?" And she said, "I was being obedient to the spirit. I was compelled to do it." And I thought, wow.
I'm speechless. That's amazing.
I thought, wow, 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 wow. You know, to first hear the spirit speak to you, and then you move because you felt like you didn't have a choice, you had to do it, or that you would be, you know, not, you know, disobeying, you know, whatever
right.
it was. She
That's
felt
right.
compelled to do so, and I was really moved by it. She never wanted anything. Back, she just wanted to honor what she was led to do. It was on her spirit to do so, and she did it. And I just thought that that was really a powerful thing. And then, of course,
that's amazing. That's huge.
Yeah, and then when With You began to, you know, live, and the video was out, and you know, started moving up the charts, and then of course. The label was like, "Oh yeah, we knew this was a brilliant artist from the very beginning, you know." And then I'm looking at them like, "I know you didn't just say
that." That is funny.
And it was then that I learned, or quickly, about the politics, because at that point, even though they had zero interest in the record, I had to let them claim, you know, the responsibility
for
its success, because, you know, if I didn't, if I had made a big stink about it, then, you know, it's politics. And it's an ego-driven
exactly.
business. And, you know, okay, all right, y'all did it. I'm so glad I'm signed with Epic. Two thumbs up.
Well, that song, I'm just still blown away by the fact that they could not detect that. Well, how can you be an A&R or this or that and... or whatever it was, you know, a music, you know, executive, and without, you know, just not having that little certain something. I mean, I don't understand that.
It didn't fit the song structure of the day.
Of what they had.
It was different. And, you know, the chorus didn't repeat the way choruses typically do on R&B records.
Right.
And I wasn't necessarily, while I was singing my face off, or at least I thought I was, it wasn't in a traditional R&B kind of way.
It wasn't formulaic, which is,
right.
you know,
right.
to them,
right.
you know, so I, okay,
so they,
I got it. Wow.
They thought it was, you know, just not a good move to do, and then it turned out to be like it overshadowed
an amazing
everything.
Song.
Which you know?
Has stood the test of time.
Yeah, I mean, people, when I sing songs like, you know, Lovey Dovey or She's Fly or Head Over Heels, people are like, "Oh, I forgot he sang that song."
Exactly.
You know?
But once you hear it, exactly.
Right. You know, With You came in and just took over. And then all of a sudden, I was a, you know, this balladeer.
I'm
a crooner.
That song, I could play it like literally a good three times in a row. I mean, I just love it so much. And just like all of our, you know, our listeners out there, this is something that's really huge. And, you know, I was watching, I think you did a piece with someone, and it just hit me because these songs really, when people say, and I know, you know, we get a chance to have a lot of wonderful artists like yourself to come on the show, but when we say that we, our lives are really shaped by your music, we really mean it.
You know,
that's really the truth.
And it's not something that I take for granted. I have been asked to sing at homegoing services. With you. And I'd be like, well,
really?
It's a little bit weird.
Wow.
And then they would say, this was, you know, this was the song that I sang to my child when my child was a baby. And, you know, it was our favorite song. And so then I felt, then it gave it a whole kind of weight. And, you know, I know that honestly has nothing to do with me. I say to God be the glory because I recognize that to have the ability to affect people on an emotional level is spiritual. And that does not come from me. It comes through me. And I'm just grateful that I was gifted in such a way that I can affect people. And it's humbling. It's not something that swells me up with pride. It actually is humbling that, you know, that I have it and I'm grateful. And I always say to God be the glory.
Well, Tony, I have to say, just even in you telling the story, I was like, no, I'm thinking to myself, I would have been so upset, you know, just the fact that we might not have heard that record. Like, that is enough to just, how, I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to get over that. Yeah. But that really tells you a lot, you know. So, folks, if you're just joining us, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the All New Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. Now, today we have a very special guest with us today. As you know, we always bring you the very latest with some of the amazing artists that are out there. And today, absolutely, is no exception. Mr. Tony Terry is with us, and we are just so pleased. Good morning again, Tony, and again, welcome to the show.
Again, thank you for having me, Kerry. I love it. It's refreshing when interviewers kind of know how to interview because, you know, you have not asked one typical question yet, and I like that.
Oh, you're very kind. Well, I appreciate that. You know, I really do. I have to tell you, and just even kind of going back a little bit, one of the things that kind of got to me a little bit, I saw something where you had indicated that, like, when you kind of were starting out and you were working, I used to work, like, I'm from, you know, Jersey and Philly and New York and Jersey and all that stuff. So I was aware of the summer youth employment folks. In fact, they still owe me a certificate award to this day. But I remember them, and I heard something, and you had worked for them as well, which kind of was your unofficial paying start in the industry.
Yeah,
and I just love that story so much.
Yeah,
so please tell us a little bit more about that, because that's how you got started.
It is. You know, I was one day watching television, and this super exciting show came on called Fame about a high school of performing arts. And, you know, there were artists, there were dancers dancing in the hallway. There were musicians practicing, you know, on the lawn outside. There were actors working on scenes. There were visual artists painting on the walls inside the school. And there were singers, you know, having voice lessons. And I thought, wow, you can do that in school? It took a minute to process. And then I found out that there was a school like that in D.C., the Duke Ellington School of the Arts.
Amazing.
And the first year I asked my mom, could I audition? Because we didn't live in D.C., we lived in Maryland, in Landover, Maryland. And it would have meant a commute. And the first year I asked my mother, she said, no.
Oh, my.
I mean, unequivocally, no. but what? No. Okay. Because I said so. It was one of those. And so I didn't. But the next year, I went and auditioned, and I was so green. I had never auditioned before for anything, and I didn't know how to audition. And I thought that I would take a record with me, and I had an album of Jeffrey Osborne.
Oh.
And I was going to sing along with it. That was going to be my audition. That's how green I was.
Wow.
No one told me how to audition for anything. So I go into Duke Ellington and for my audition, and I say, okay, where's the record player? They're like, that's not how we do it. And so I was like, well, how do you do it?
Wow.
And so they asked me if I had a song prepared, and of course I did. And I sang it, and I just happened to sing it a cappella, and they let me in.
Well, I have to say that is amazing.
They let me in, and I was terribly excited, and then I told my mother I auditioned.
What did she say?
Actually, after I auditioned, I told her, I said, Mom, I'm going to Duke Ellington this year. And she said, oh, okay. Like, I probably said it with, you know, like, I'm sure I said it with so much confidence because I was already in.
Right.
And I knew that, you know, like, my parents had supported me my whole life. And they knew that it was, you know, that singing was a passion for me. And so she didn't resist. And I was surprised that she didn't resist. But it meant
wow.
that I was going to have to stay with my aunt in D.C., which she welcomed me with open arms. With
that
her three other children in the hood, in the very seed of the scornful.
She
didn't lose any one of us. Nobody ever went into the system. Nobody ever got in trouble. Nobody ever. So she became this iconic person in the hood because no one messed with her children because they respected her.
I love that. I've got to tell you. Oh, Doug, you go ahead, please.
Yeah. So I went in. I got to Duke Ellington, and it was the best time. It was the time that I learned. You know, we had a longer than normal school day, and we would do academics during the day, and then we would focus on our particular arts in the afternoon. And you know, it was then that I learned about, you know, 8-hour rehearsals and longer, getting it until we get it right. We're going to do it until we get it right, and then the opportunity to audition for and do the street theater, which Mike Malone, one of the founders of the Duke Ellington School of the Arts, also ran by way of the D.C. Youth Employment Program under Marion Barry, who the city, if he was alive today, he could probably be mayor now if he was alive.
Yeah, it didn't even circle back again after some issues and things.
He did.
Wow.
And when he passed away, it was, you know, they shut the city down just to honor him.
Yeah, that was huge. Yeah.
It was huge.
I remember
it was
that.
Huge.
Yeah.
And so that was the start. And I mean, and then at the end of my, which I was able to do 2 years of before I cycled out in terms of my age, and Mike Malone, who was one of the founders of the Duke Ellington School, along with Peggy Cooper Kafritz, who were also professors at Howard University, he came to me and he put his hand on my shoulder. I will never forget. And he said, you're ready.
Wow.
You're ready. And you can go. You go to New York with my blessing because you're ready. And I thought, wow, I got Mike Malone's stamp of approval. I mean, that means I'm really ready. And
now, let me tell you something. Let me tell you, Tony Terry, it is not easy to get even into the high schools. I myself, real quick, I'm going to just jump right on here to tell you. But no, I applied to the high school. They had just opened the Performing Arts High School in Philadelphia.
Right.
My audition, I was so nervous that I screwed it up. So I never got in. So I just, when I hear stories and folks like you and you know, and Jasmine Sullivan went to the one in Philadelphia. And so it just stays with me so very much. So I love, and I know exactly what you're talking about because
yeah,
I really, but
by,
I love
by
that.
Being green and not being ready and nervous.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, I was
the whole thing.
Staring at the clock on the back of the
Amazing.
Room, at the wall, just trying to get through it, all of that.
Yeah, and I keep hearing Debbie Allen. What was that line? Right
sweat
here.
It starts here with sweat.
Wow.
And then I found out that Fame, the TV show, while it was set in New York, was actually based on what was going on at Duke Ellington.
No, you're kidding me. I never knew
no,
that.
No, I'm not. Debbie Allen was a teacher at Duke Ellington School of the Arts.
Really?
Yeah.
Hold it. Is that right?
That's absolutely 100%. Yes.
That says it all. Full circle. That's amazing. I did see Leroy, the one that played Leroy, God rest his soul, he passed away, but I remember seeing him out in Los Angeles. I remember hanging out one day, I saw him out there. But
he was still very talented all the way through.
A live wire. Yeah, absolutely. So what do you say, Tony Terry, to these folks, you know, to the youngsters who are coming up, and have you had a chance to work with the, you know, the upcoming talent?
Some, you know, actually, that's really, really a good question, because I have mixed feelings about encouraging people to enter this business, especially young females, because it is an ego-driven business, and mostly men and women, especially young girls, are taken advantage of more so than not. And they will go as far as to get to the threshold of success, and then nothing, and then they're left to pick up the pieces of their lives and move on, and then to pull it together and find something else to do. When you realize that your dream of being a star is not going to happen, and it's heartbreaking, but it happens more than you could imagine. There was a young lady that was trending recently, that was shining a light on a lot of things in the music business, and I do not know her. Jaguar Wright.
Oh, okay. But we've seen her name.
A lot of the things that she said had some validity
to
them.
Wow.
It's really real. And
she tells it like it is. Let me just, for those of you who have not heard of her yet, and a lot of folks have, she really puts it on out there. But
Straight chaser.
Yeah,
straight
she no really. That's all I'm going to say. So,
but it's good to know
that there's some credence to it, right?
Absolutely. I would not want to release my 14, 15, 16-year-old daughter into the hands of, you know, anybody, and not be there.
Well, you know, but can we say that back in the day, we just weren't aware of these things? You know, we just heard of an opportunity, and you would have to think that you're almost, you know, I hate to say, but some of those, the parents, you know, they're getting all this money and stuff, they might have had felt that they needed to turn a blind eye or whatever they call it, you know. It's just heartbreaking, the whole thing,
It is heartbreaking, and, you know, for years and years and years, that kind of thing has gone on, and it's, you know, no one has said anything, and not only the parents have turned a blind eye because they might get a check for $50,000, which might be way more than they even make in a year. You know, $50,000 to someone who has nothing is a lot of money. $50,000 to someone who has money is nothing.
Right, exactly.
And so, you know.
So
money,
you were
money,
reluctant, you know.
I would be reluctant because, you know, I know that, like, a young female artist is really, 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 really tough. And I can't even stress it enough, you know, and I would suggest, you know, never, ever to be in a room alone with men if you're by yourself. I would suggest never drinking in public because, you know, you don't know what somebody can slip into your drink. I would suggest never smoking in public if that's something that you like to do. Do it in the privacy of your own home, in your own space where you're safe, because people generally in this business are not so nice.
Wow. Well, you heard it right from Mr. Tony Terry. Recording artist, superstar, Wow.
And it's a hard pill to swallow because it's a business that I love. It's a business that I love and still have passion for it. And, you know, want to, I've been fortunate in that I've been able to continue working, but not for lack of working hard, because I put in my time, I put in my effort, and it's always about growing and improving and evolving, and never thinking that I know it all. And I'm willing to learn.
Well, you have the best disposition I've talked to in a long time when it comes to the music business, I have to tell you. Tony, I do want to ask you about one thing that entered my mind, and that is the acting part. Now, how did you kind of make that bridge across from the music over to the acting, and then kind of merging the two with maybe the, you know, like Mama, I Want to Sing and all that kind of stuff? How did that come about with the acting?
Well, it actually happened in reverse. It started with the acting. I mean, I grew up singing in church, but you know, I was trained in musical theater, and you know, acting and singing to combine
goes together. Right?
I didn't know that it was going to be the music that would catapult me into, you know, the hearts and minds of people. Because again, for me, it was just about having the opportunity to share. I always call it sharing, because it's sharing. It's sharing, with people, the music, the experience. And I just didn't know how it was going to happen. I never really thought about it. I just wanted to be ready for whatever it was. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely. But what crosses my mind, see, back in the day, I remember quite often, if you came out as a singer, if that's where you kind of blew up from that, then, you know, I don't know whether it was the public thing or the executives or whatever, they wanted to only pigeonhole. That's all that you got to do was to, you know, to sing. Or if you start as an actor, then that was it, and they knew you, you know, you blew up, that was it. These
days, you couldn't be a singer if you're an actor.
You could not.
Right.
You could not.
Right. You couldn't be a gospel singer if you were an R&B singer.
Exactly.
And Aretha Franklin was just kind of like, you know, she just broke the mold because she decided that, you know, I'm a singer. I grew up in a church. You can't really tell me what I can't sing.
I don't know how they could ever tell Aretha anything. Aretha was Aretha.
Right.
She was Miss Aretha, let me tell you. But I'll tell you, I really, and it shocks me because to me, artists are not usually one-trick pony type folks.
Right.
You know, a lot of folks who are so creative and so talented, they're talented across the spectrum usually.
Yeah.
And so so these days we get to see that a lot more.
Yes. Well, you know, I think that has a lot to do with, one, the whittling down of all of the major industry. You know,
yes,
there's now probably
true.
Now four major labels.
And
pretty much everybody we know has a smartphone and a laptop, and you can get it done in your living room. Anybody can be a producer, if you will, or at least they think they can. Not understanding that, you know, the most successful ones are studied and they know what they're doing.
Absolutely.
And it's not by chance. But you know, people decide that they want to pluck away, and then sometimes they come up with some magic. Magic is happening. And with the internet, you have access to the world, just like any major label. And so it kind of levels the playing field in a whole lot of ways. I remember in the 80s, my manager telling me, Tone, it's going to be digital. I'm telling you, it's going to be digital.
Really?
And I'd be like, okay, Bob, I hear you, man, but you have to keep saying it like that.
Well, but that's amazing, though. Back in the 80s, they knew.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. He was like, you better be ready. Better get on board.
Wow.
Better get on board early.
Wow. So these days, because of that, a lot of, you know, way back when you had to shop, you know, demos and this and that to, you know, every label, you know, from here to L.A., nowadays, like you said, you could basically just kind of put your cell phone out there.
Yeah, you can.
You know, across
it's
social
just all
media.
About money. You absolutely can. There have been many people that have succeeded just because they were on Instagram, or they just, you know, and their video went viral or something. And you know, there are also artists You know, the world is bigger than the United States. And that's what the internet brings to you. It brings you the entire world. I know of artists that have sold 100 million records, and we've never heard their record one time, not once.
That is amazing.
In America. But, you know, they're living large, doing well, succeeding, and we know nothing about it. And there are lots of stories like that.
Wow. You are very inspirational. Folks, let me just bring everybody up to speed here. You know, thank you so much for being part of this, Mr. Tony Terry. You guys, we're listening to the one and only Mr. Tony Terry. He is a music superstar, and we are so honored. Now, I want to talk about your current project. I want to hear all about your new single, what's going on. Tell our listeners.
Right before COVID started, I signed a new recording deal, and it's been actually very stressful from that
Congratulations,
moment.
Congratulations, too,
well,
by the way.
Thank you. However, before I signed my record deal, I'm a recording artist, so I'm always recording. And so I recorded this song called Born to Love You, and I just kind of put it in the pile of other things that I recorded. I'm my own worst critic. So one of my brothers, he tells me all the time, he's like, Tone, man, Your worst work is better than a whole lot of people's best work. Now you got to stop being so hard on yourself. You got to really kind of like loosen up a little bit. But you know, I am a bit of a, I wouldn't say perfectionist, but you know, I want it to be right. I want it to feel right. And so I recorded Born to Love You and just kind of put it in the pile. And then I started addressing this new record deal that I had, that had been presented to me. And I'm spending a lot of energy getting this record deal worked out, negotiating it. And in the meantime, I had asked one of my partners who owns the label if he thought this particular record was a hit. And he called me back within 30 seconds. He was like, man, not only is it a hit, but I got you, I want to put it out on my label. And
wow.
So on a handshake, I gave him, you know, a small percentage of the publishing. And he went running with it, and it turned into a hit record for me. And I was over here trying on one side, negotiating to the point of just absolute frustration. And then on the other hand, I have a record over here that's taking off, and I didn't even realize it was happening because I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't paying attention.
This is unbelievable. And I became Born to Love You.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
And so it turns out the record deal I walked away from and Born to Love You, I started putting all my energy in and then to the next situation that we're about to release two singles now with the same company, my brother Adrian Meeks at Song Source Music Group. I have two singles, one called Your Love Is All I Need, which is a very powerful ballad, and then another one that's kind of puts you in the mind frame of Marvin Gaye's Inner City Blues, Make You Wanna Holler. And it's called Brighter Day. And it speaks about, you know, what's happening. And the chorus suggests that if they would just know your name, then I know that you would release us from these chains. So we talk about, you know, just recognizing who our source is and where the power of love comes from. And if we could as a collective do that, then a lot of the problems that we have could kind of absolve themselves.
That's right. That's right. But folks don't see so clearly as that, I don't think.
No. It's an idealist concept.
Yes. But a good one.
But at least when you plant the seed, though, you got to plant the seed.
Exactly.
For people to at least start thinking about it.
This is true.
And some people don't even understand that, you know, they might hear a song. Have you ever heard a song that you didn't like, and then you hear it so much that you start singing it?
Yes. Well, in the old days, especially,
Yeah. And so the seed is planted.
Right.
And then it starts to take root, and then before you know it, you're bobbing to that concept that you couldn't stand 2 weeks ago.
That's right. or you hear it years later, and you love it then.
Right. Yeah.
Usually.
Well, you know, I I have a specific situation that has happened. In 2001, yes. I released an album, and the single that we had re-released, which has a weird title called Freaky Little Game, we could not get arrested with that record. I mean, nobody was even interested in even hearing it. And then I went back to D.C. years, 20 years later. I mean, it was 2020 now. We're talking about 2000. So this was just a couple of years ago when I went back. And I went to a club, and the band was playing my song.
That is
that
unreal.
That particular song. And I was like, well, how is it that y'all are playing this song? And he said, bruh, every band in town plays this song. What? How is that possible? How is that possible that every band in town plays this song? They're like, this song is so dope. I couldn't even believe it until I saw it for myself. So when I played City Winery in D.C., and I had prepared to perform the song. And when I did, the whole energy of the building shifted. I couldn't understand it. I'm like, well, when I put this record out back in 2000, y'all weren't interested. What happened? What happened?
Is that not something you see?
Yeah, that's right. It's amazing.
Or you listen with new ears later, or I don't even know if you can describe how, you know, what that
is. I'll take it.
Exactly. Well, I'm loving it. Well, listen, I have to say, first of all, Tony, now, you have just been just doing some huge things. You've always done huge things. You've never fallen, like, in my opinion, fallen off and, you know, just forget all about music and all that. You stayed with it, and you really have, and just you have a legacy. And so this is amazing, and that's, you know, that's very moving. So I just want to thank you on my behalf and, you know, and all the listeners that we have out there just for what you're doing, you know, because we try to get you guys on. We love that you all are still, you know, very much in, you're still relevant. Let me just put it that way, because that's the word everybody's using these days.
Yeah, you know, it's about, you know, when you say relevant and, you know, reinventing, along with signing the New Deal, I started doing, because soon after the COVID thing struck the country and our calendars were cleared, I started needing something to do. And I started singing on my Facebook page. Initially I titled it Chilling at the House Just Like Everybody Else. Every Tuesday I was there, Chilling at the House Just Like Everybody Else. And then it turned into Tony Terry Tuesday. And since March, every Tuesday, I go online at 9 o'clock on my fan page, and just for an hour, sometimes it goes 2 hours, just depending on how I feel, and just music, classics, Tony Terry songs, and it has become this thing that became way bigger than I even ever thought about it being. You know, one occasion we had 90,000 people watching live, and for me that was huge.
That is huge.
Because when I first started, you know, I would have 100-150 people, you know, for the first few weeks, and for it to grow into this thing that has, you know, become so important to the people that come in and check me out every Tuesday, it's just been amazing. So it started out as therapy for me and turned into something that was therapeutic for my fans, and they would call me inbox me and say, you know, I lost a relative today, and your performance tonight is, you know, pulled me through it. And, you know, I mean, those kinds of things make it bigger than me. So even when I don't even feel like going on, I go on because I know that it's bigger than me, and it's not about me, and that I'm being of service to in the little way that I can. Like the little drummer boy, all he had was his drums. That's all he had to offer. What I have is my voice, and if it helps, and if it provides just a moment of a distraction, of comfort, then, you know, that's a blessing for me.
You are just one of the most grounded individuals I think we've chatted with in a very long time here on this show. I'm just blown away, Tony Terry. I really am. Very, very grounded. I'm taking that you have a great balance with home life and professional world, which is awesome. You know, you have to be so just the humility It's great.
Well,
I'm just
the people that I hang around with do not mind checking me. As I
they let you
mind,
know if you get a big head.
and I don't mind checking them.
Oh, I love it. I love it. It works both ways.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, I've always charged. I've always believed that friendship comes with responsibility. And because of that, I have a small network of friends that we hold each other accountable and we pour into each other. Otherwise, I can't imagine why we would be friends. Like if we're not bringing something of value to each other, at the end of the day, if my interaction with you does not make me better in some way, then I'm kind of wasting my time. And so therefore, I have to put you in the acquaintance pile and the friendship pile, you know, has to, because friendship is a gift. Not only from you, but from the other person that you receive it from. It's a gift. And that comes with something. That means something. And a lot of people take it for granted. So, you know, my grounding, I think, comes from, you know, my family. Like, my mom has no problem telling me to take the trash out and bust them suds in the kitchen. No problem at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when you have that, you know, you can't help but just
be. You can't help but be grounded.
it takes a lot of energy to keep an ego inflated. And I would just rather, it's easier to just, you know, be who I really am.
Now, I want to ask you about some shout-outs. I have to, of course, shout out the amazing David Pick-Gonley for helping to make some connections. Just awesome. From you guys know him, and he's been on our show from Surface. Now we know that you guys might be doing some things, and I'm not going to ask him just what or anything because it may not be ready yet or you may not be ready to talk about it. But whenever, okay. Well, yeah. Are you able to give us a little, you know, a little bit of some of the details on it just yet, or do you want to come back?
Well, I mean, Pick asked me if I would sing some of their songs over for a project that he was doing. He was going to re-record his songs, but you know, he's a flautist, and he was intending to re-record the songs, and he asked me if I would sing the hook. And I did. And when we started laying them down, it just felt like, so I just said, you know, hey, let me take a pass at the lead. And when I did, he was like, you know, we have to, go ahead and record that, right?
That's it, exactly. Wow.
And we did, and it turned out to be the beginning of what would be Resurface. And that is me singing those great songs with Pick. And I'm just honored that he would have me, you know, to do them. I'm honored that he is, you know, wants me to do them, and they sound great. And so Shower Me With Your Love is the first song that we've done. It's finished. And then we're going to do
song.
Only You Can Make Me Happy. Yeah.
All right.
Wow. Yeah, I'm really excited about that. And then we're also doing where I'm going to feature Pick on my project. I've never been interested in doing this before, is to re-cut with you.
Wow.
But I heard this absolutely brilliant production that Pick came up with for a relaunch of the song that made me say I have to do it. I would just as soon leave well enough alone. There's no need to bother it. But this production says, let's get her done. And so we're going to do that.
Well, you heard it right here first on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So I'm so honored. I really am. And is there anyone that you would like to shout out to?
Well, I mean, you know, just my crew, you know, who have been loyal and helping keep things together. We've developed some really important things. We're taping a new show called Conversations with Kings, and which I'm super excited about. And it's not even a show. It's really a peek in that allows viewers to see men interact with each other in a way that we are not talking about necessarily cars, women, and sports, but life matters, matters of the heart. Masculine, toxic masculinity. I mean, things that really matter that go beneath the surface that men generally don't talk about in an environment that is conducive for us all to feel comfortable and just have real conversations with each other. And we've already recorded an episode that is so powerful that I cannot wait for the world to see because, you know, we have been conditioned not to share our feelings.
That's right.
We've been conditioned not to be emotional beings when we are as emotional being as our counterparts, as the women in our lives. But you know, we've been conditioned to believe that an expression of
especially
emotion
in our community
makes you soft.
Right.
And we don't understand that it really does take a big man to let the pain show. And it takes bigger man to let that pain go.
That's right. Wow.
Yeah. So we're shining the light on that. I'm very proud of it. And it's going to be coming very soon, maybe to a network near you. But, you know, we have been blessed with the opportunity to be a part of a new platform here called CLS TV, which is basically our own network. And
really?
Yeah. And so which makes us responsible for the content that we supply, that we provide, and even that journey, that this venture, which is a new facet of my career, is very interesting. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, we hope you'll come back and keep us informed right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're loving it.
I will, Carrie. I will, Carrie.
Amazing things. We just wish you nothing but big success, big success out there to continue on that huge journey that you have started. So, you know, so many years ago, and just done some amazing things, and we're really proud, and I'm just honored to get an opportunity to have you on my show. So
Thank you. It's been my pleasure. It's really been my pleasure. I see some food that just came in, so I'm gonna have to cut you off
right
here.
That's all right, Tony Terry. Thank you. I hear you. Listen, enjoy Tony Terry. You guys know a couple new singles out there. Born to Love You. Look for that. We'll be in touch. Thank you for being
with us. And some gospel songs out, too. We got some gospel music out there, too. Check it out.
Awesome. All right, folks.
Be well, Carrie. Thank you, man. Thank
you
for having
likewise.
Me.
Keep it right here. We've got more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. Stay with us.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you.
our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
And I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Terry Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines.
All right. It is so nice to be with you guys. It is our Wednesday morning, April 20th of 2022. Yes, I'm Carrie Hines, and it is our show number 701, show number 701, as we start literally a new journey here on the show. We're going to talk about all of that. We've got a lot to unpack in this part of our show. And I want to take a moment and bring it to the line. He's been nicknamed as the Ed McMahon of Hair Radio, but he's just an important part to our broadcast. I've got to say good morning to the one and only Otto. Otto, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
I'm doing just great. It's nice to have you with us, sir. You've been doing a great job, by the way. You really have been.
Thank you. Just
thank you for being part of this. Listen, we got a lot to talk about today. I have to really say. So first of all, it's like I said in just a moment ago, it's our next part of our journey. And so today we're going behind the scenes. I literally had to recover from yesterday, Otto. We're going behind the scenes to talk about this show. Everybody, first of all, let me just say it was the highest rated hair radio show that I've done on Blog Talk. And so, which I don't really, let me just explain it because folks don't know. I don't really market at all to the listeners. I love you guys. Thanks for tuning in over there, but that's not our targeted demographic, so to speak. We're a great partner on their platform. And so to have the tens of thousands of people who have listened to us over there, that's not numbers I'm making up. You can see our numbers. It's public knowledge. Somebody says you're not afforded your own version of the facts, except these days it seems like that's what the facts are. But really, it's amazing how incredibly broad-reaching and how many folks are discovering this broadcast. And 27-year history of the actual hair radio show being around for 27 years. So we're looking back. Peeling back the layers from yesterday's popular show to talk about everything. I'm going to break it on down. So we're going to get into a lot of that, everything from the guests who were on the show to planning the show to talking about the show to talking on the show. We're looking at everything, even the music, you know, because a lot of folks, I played the show back so many times yesterday. It was just a moving, incredibly well put together, mechanically speaking, broadcast, in my opinion. And I'll share the feedback on what I heard. Some interesting comments.
Nice.
Yes,
nice.
I'm real excited. Yes. And if you guys out there have something you want to say about the show, please dial on in on our 516 number and press 1. We'd love to get you on with your comments. We're going to talk about everything, including, like I said, the guests and everything else that happened yesterday. I think folks want to know. Then in the next hour,
in the 8 o'clock hour. We're going to listen back to some of the live talk from yesterday. So I'm super excited about that. So you don't want to miss this. And then coming up probably about 8:30 or so, or in the last half hour of the show, we're bringing a live guest back to the show. We're going to see who drops by. I'm not telling you now. You'll have to stay tuned. That's a super teaser. So you'll have to stay tuned for that to find out who's going to join us at about 8:30 or so. So really good stuff coming up today. First of all, Otto, how do you feel, Otto Automatic, about starting this new journey at show number 701 today? How do you feel, Otto?
Well, I'll tell you, yesterday I listened back also later in the day, and I'll tell you what, I was thrilled with the show and the build-up. I was excited as a new member of the family, and I'll tell you what, it was thrilling. I was so, you know, the guests, Michael Hopkins, the Angels, Eugene Davis, a lot of the guests, you know, from the heart, and myself also, and all the planning that you put into it and helped me with, and I just, you know, once again, the new journey. I'm looking forward to going forward, man. 701, 702, you know, it's you put together an unbelievable show, Curry.
Thank you, and I appreciate that, Otto. You helped to make it memorable. So listen, I want to get into some of that. The first thing I want to talk about, and this kind of, you know, so folks know what is the process here at the show. I think folks want to know, and they don't have an idea. You know, many probably think we just, you know, get on the show and just, you know, let it rip. We don't really do that. It may sound like that, but we don't really do that. We put a whole lot of thought into what we put on the air. First of all, it starts, how it starts, and we're going to talk about our planning specifically for the show, how it all started. I knew that I was coming up on the 700th show. Of course, after we hit show number 600, now again, as you heard in some of the wonderful commentary that you'll hear again and a little later in the next hour, but I didn't expect, you know, you just don't know where the train is going to ultimately arrive. You know it's on the track. You know you're seated on the train. But you have no idea what that final destination is going to be. So I had a feeling we were going to get to 700. I just didn't know exactly when and where and how and who and what. But it's really crazy, Otto. I knew that I did not want to do the same old celebration show. And even though I love, you guys know, and this is an important part, we celebrated every milestone here. I remember when we first crossed, not 100 shows, I remember when we first crossed 100 hours. That was probably about 30 shows or so. And we celebrated that. I remember when we crossed 50 shows, we celebrated that. At 100 shows, we celebrated that. 150, 200, 250, 300, 350, 400, 450, 500, 550. So you get the idea. So I did not want to do that kind of a show, which is nothing wrong with it, but I had already shared so many of the memories. You guys know a lot about me because I talk live on the air every day. You know a lot. You've learned a lot about a lot of the popular folks who are on our network. You know who they are. You know what they like. You know what they sound like. You know where they live. You know what they do every day. So these are the things that I'm super proud about. But I didn't want to do that for this upcoming show. So I'm sitting thinking, you know, we have our pre-production meetings that we do every single day on this. After the show wraps, we have pre-production meetings. And we go into what's going to sound good or be good for the next show. What I'm at the same time, I'm always looking ahead for the next month and the following month and what's called an editorial calendar. What holidays are happening? Should we talk about those holidays? Are we going to celebrate those holidays? Is this of interest to our listeners and our fans? So a lot of this is taken very seriously. We're not just a podcast where we're getting on and just talking about the weather each morning, which is nothing wrong with that. I support those folks, and we love them. We're all a part of the same industry, and I love it. But what we do here at Hair Radio, we keep the name radio because that's what it is. Radio show, the radio means that it is more of a two-way interactivity that's happening. And so I'm just honored to have you guys with us along for the ride on that train. So
yes.
Here's what happened. Yes. So Otto, I have to say, we go back, we start planning this whole thing. And as I said, I didn't want it to be the typical celebratory show and where we just rehash memories. And I just played a few clips that you've heard 1,000 times. I love that, but nothing's wrong with that. But that's not quite what I had in mind. So I said, you know what? We've got to do a show. We already have a lot of things scheduled on our live show every day here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. On Tuesdays, we already have usual visits from Eugene Davis from Conversations on Hair. He usually is on with us once in a while on Tuesdays about 7:30 in the morning. And then at here and there. And then later in the day, we usually have Vet Talk Radio Show on at about 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central with Michael Hopkins and his Angels panel. So shout out to them.
Love that show.
So it was
love that show.
Right? Yeah, it's a great show. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
What is his tagline, Otto? Do you remember? It's all about the...
About the vets. It's all about
you
the vets.
You got it. You got it. And so we just love that. And we're going to talk about Michael and the Angels and all that in just a little bit when we get into more about the guests. But so what I wanted to do was put together a show that was true to our Tuesday lineup on the Hair Radio Morning Show, but also celebrated a theme that kind of ran through all the different parts of the show. And I wanted to have everybody who did not necessarily represent so many of the interviews that we've done, and you guys know we've done thousands, literally thousands of interviews, far more than anybody else. I don't even have a nearest competitor in this. We have literally done thousands of interviews. So I wanted to kind of focus on where we've been and kind of like the last 100 shows. I really did. I wanted to just really say, take a look at the evolution of Hair Radio and the Hair Radio Morning Show in recent times. And I think we have not just accomplished that, I think we have knocked it out of the ballpark. I really do. I think we've knocked it out of the ballpark, literally, because the folks that we have encountered in this evolution have been a major part to our current success. When I looked at the numbers this morning, just like I said, on Blog Talk, we have the biggest numbers I've seen in eons. We're growing. We have an international audience. It's not a secret. It's not a secret. And so folks are, you know, checking us out. We have a Blog Talk. Well, first of all, we have a Blogspot blog. Okay, a blog is where you read about different subjects. And so the folks who contribute and write those entries are known as bloggers. And I created a blog for Hair Radio probably about 10 years ago. And on that blog, you will be shocked at how many views, page views are there. Okay, you're talking between 50 and 100,000. So that is incredible all by itself. Then we're across the internet. We have thousands of followers on social media. 10,000 or plus on Blog Talk. We have folks through our regular 24-hour streaming network. So it's a nonstop. We have lots and lots of folks. So it's a great place to lift your profile. If you want to be known, you'll be known.
Oh, yeah.
You'll be known.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to advertise your products, here's the place to do it. It's economical and affordable. And you're joining some of our legacy advertisers like FixYourFeet.com with Dr. Raglan, who should be on our show very soon, I think next week, as well as Rugged Evolution Beard Care. It's time to get them back on our show as well. So we're shouting them both out. You know, just amazing things that are happening here. Then we have some wonderful new folks who are joining us and our entire advertising family who, you know, from time to time drop in and promote their products, and we're happy about that. Most are outstanding, and we're so pleased. I want to take a moment also to kind of talk about the structure of the broadcast and all that it has been, especially in planning this 700th show, 700th show, which, again, I have to keep pinching myself about that. Well, Otto, let me just turn to you because I have to ask you, do you have one part of the show? Do you have one memory, one part of the show that really jumps out at you that you heard yesterday or that might have surprised you with our celebration? Did you kind of know what was going to happen? Or were you still surprised when it actually came together?
Well, from the planning and
I'm going to heat up my coffee. You go right ahead.
I kind of sort of, you know, being involved in the show, so I knew somewhat, but I didn't know how it was kind of come across, and it came across just marvelous. I was with the panel with Michael Hopkins and the Angels, Katrina, Noor, and all the guests. I sat back and just re-listened, and like I said, I was thrilled and honored to be on the show. One of the things I didn't get a chance to when I wanted to, you give so much, Gary. You're the one, you ask a lot. I just want to, if you didn't mind, who was your favorite guest, Curry, over the 700 shows?
Okay. Well, all right. And I did talk a little bit about this early this morning, so our sharp-eared listeners may recall that part at about 6 o'clock this morning. But I'm going to tell you, I have several favorite guests for several different reasons. It really is that's the truth. Because earlier on I started out with perhaps a favorite guest or two, and then later on I had a different one, and then another one. And so it all kind of evolved, as I use that word evolution again. I was very pleased. So you asked me who was my favorite music guest, probably is a little different than my favorite interviewee. Like, say, if you just tuned in, you might have missed that we replayed the Tony Terry interview, which is, again, one of my favorite interviews from the singer who had the big hit With You back in the 90s. And he talked about a singing superstar, Anita Baker, sending him a $50,000 check. You know, stuff like that. Prince's hairstylist coming on the show. She was with Prince for 29 years. She talked about that and his incredible, you know, how the first hairstylist, Prince, was a little rude sounding, you know, how temperamental artists are. And so the hairstylist was like, you know, I'm done. You know, I've had enough. You can kiss my little, I'm out of here type thing. That was a fun favorite as well. But I have to say, if I really look back, I think there are so many moments I've had on the show with interviews, favorite guests. I look at Jesse Jackson back in 2014. I had left my job in 2013. I left my job in the financial world. Many people know I've come from the airlines, but a lot of people don't know that I used to do stock splits and reorganizations for corporate mergers and all of that, mergers and acquisitions. So, and it's out there on the internet too. It's not a secret. So I worked, when different companies like Sony and all these other companies, maybe they would purchase a different company. So I had to cash the security, the stock ownership of the original owners out. So, and I dealt with corporate lawyers and all that kind of stuff. So I've never talked about this on the air, so it's good to kind of talk a little bit about. So anyway, that job was about, it'll be 10 years next year that I left a regular 9-to-5 job. Not to so much work for myself. That's a misnomer, a misunderstanding. I did not at the time leave my job to say, oh, I'm going to go work for myself. I was paid very well. And I lived here in New York and Brooklyn and was, you know, with little dog, had a chance to be very suburban. So that was incredible and wonderful. I'm still living here in the same place, in the same location. I'm one block from my old job, so I get to still see my old friends. And but I left the job in pursuit of just having a break. It was a very high-powered type of work. If you can imagine... And I'm not like a numerical person so much. I'm not like, you know, doing decimal points and stuff. They had me counting, doing spreadsheets and counting decimal points 4 and 5 places to the right.
Oh,
so something,
wow.
You know, I'm understanding a penny and 1 cent. But anything, when you start getting into fractions of that penny, way on breaking it on down, and let me tell you something. You don't know the folks out there in the financial world and the corporate attorneys and what are known as the CAOs, which are the chief accounting officers. Not the COOs, too. I dealt with the chief operations officers. I dealt with the chief executive officers. So I dealt with the CEOs, the CFOs, and the CAOs, in addition to the corporate attorneys. And so what they would do, if the stock was, you know, 10 shares, I had to break it on down if it was less than that. So to me, my first time, you know, when I was promoted to the position, what I did was I'm like, just, you know, I rounded it off. I'm like, well, you don't care about anything less than a penny. I really did. I had rounded everything up to at least a penny or whatever, and I'm thinking – are you kidding me? I got into a big trouble. They're like, oh, no. Because all those fractions, you know, it still equals up over, you know, a cent. So
right.
I learned my lesson. Mm-hmm. I went on to stay in that department and do incredibly well. I worked for the company for almost 10 years. And then the only reason I left the company, and we talk about this, if you guys saw my posting on Facebook today, under my name, Kerry Hines, you'll see what we're working on for next month. It's just a coincidence. In May,
huh.
We have some
wow.
big stories and things that we're working on. One of those is changing careers. And so what I decided to do was to give my – I quietly started working back at my hair radio business in like maybe 6 months before I left the company. I just quietly started working, bringing it back to life. Because as I said,
yeah.
I'd been away for about 8 years working for the financial company. So, you know, and I didn't, you know, I didn't really get to a point with the hair radio and say, oh, it's time to go do that. No, I came to realize that I was overworked. I had meetings and things at midnight, and you have, and believe me again, when it comes to dealing with folks and money, woo-wee. I can't stress to you enough how much stress I was under. So they probably added to a few of my wonderfully beautiful gray hairs, which you don't get to see. But it was really quite incredible. And so I just woke up one day and said, because to me, you know, and I loved the company, don't get me wrong. They were wonderful to me. They really were. I was an instructor. I started out as a temp, and I just, you know, was promoted like 4 times. But what I realized is that I would have fallen out my chair. One of the guys next to me literally died.
He literally died.
That was one of several, that, you know, who, because it's so stressful. And so I decided, I said, you know what, I'm just going to go home. You know, I gave my notice, and mm-hmm. I did. I gave my notice, and I literally stayed. I said 2 weeks, but I think I only made it a week, and I was ready to get out of there. And I did, and I left. They're still friends with me today. They all took me out to dinner and stuff, and we had a great goodbye. It was beautiful. And I literally, but again, I said, I remember one of the my colleagues, she was a supervisor also, and what she said to me, she's like, because they still wanted me to work, and I know I'm going to get back to the story, guys. I think you're going to enjoy this. But she said, you know, because they wanted me to work until the last minute before I was leaving out the door, literally. And they were a little upset because I was going to leave out at like noon instead of 2 or whatever I told them. And she's like, Carrie, do they not realize you're going to work for yourself? You don't need to care or be concerned if they're mad or not that you don't stay. She literally told me that. She's like, you don't need to worry about any of that. You don't care what they say. Because I had decided to go and to just take my business one day at a time. I didn't know if I was going to last a month. I didn't know if I was going to last 2 months. I really thought I would just maybe do this maybe a few months and then just find another job. And that's what my thinking was. So I didn't really leave and say, oh, I'm going to go and change the world with Hair Radio. That didn't happen.
Right.
So what I did do, I started doing the business little by little and literally took it one day at a time. And I'll tell you a little later what my secret was that brought me in early cash money so that I could continue on. I'll also share what happened when I was convinced to try and do unemployment, which I've never collected unemployment a day in my entire life, even to this minute. So we'll talk about all that because I've got some tips that you don't want to miss on that topic. So trust me. This will be really good. And it's not mentioned in my book. So if you go hunting back through how to get rich in the hair business, you're not going to find this. This is only coming through us here on this show. So back to yesterday.
Thanks for sharing,
so how
Gary.
All this plays into yesterday. So you asked me my favorite guest. And that goes back to 2013. So when I left the show, I'm sorry, left the job, in 2013, and then in 2014, I've been working here quietly, you know, reconnecting with people in the hair business. And in 2014, before I started the morning show, so we didn't even have this morning show yet. I didn't start the morning show till January of 2015. So in 2014, they got wind at the New York Daily newspaper. Now, this, for you guys out there who are in all these other little cities and all this kind of stuff, you may not have an idea what how big a thing this is. The New York Daily newspaper, we have about 13, 14 million people here in New York City. We're talking about millions. And we're big. It's huge. The newspaper that goes through the entire vein of New York City, and this was well before, like, the internet, you know, it was in, like, 2013. So the internet was big. The newspaper did a huge article on me in the New York Daily newspaper. You can Google it. It's out there. I hate the picture. That does not do me justice, believe me. But anyway, the article was – the reason that I don't like the picture is because the photographer that the newspaper sent to take the picture, I'm thinking that the photographer only was going to shoot me up at the top. He shoots my whole picture, my whole body. But anyway, that's another story. So anyway, the New York – listen, when the city's biggest newspaper dispatches somebody to your house, you are somebody.
Right.
You are somebody. I'm a big African-American man, you know, in a big page of the newspaper. I didn't murder anybody or anything like that. So for me to have a whole page that they talk about me returning – when I returned to radio, this was why – they did the story because I was returning to radio, and that was news.
Wow.
And you can see it. So that's what happened. And their title is Doing It Again, Brooklyn Hosts to Revive Hair Radio Show Online. That's the newspaper article.
Wow.
So that tells you who I am, of course. So that the reason I also talk about favorite guests is because that very day, the same day that the newspaper hit, I had a wonderful interview with Peggy Dawson, just a coincidence as well. We were interviewing independently the one and only Reverend Jesse Jackson. So that was a career high for me at that time, back in 2014. So December 2014, I had not only the newspaper to hit, but the same day to interview Reverend Jesse Jackson. So I knew I was, I had a feeling I was on my way. And, you know, so my favorite part of all that is that my former coworkers were, one of them, she was working there for a long time, and she called me up later that day. And she's like, we were on the subway, and people were just reading the newspaper. Back in those days, you read the newspaper, the printed pages.
Yeah.
And they saw your picture in the newspaper. Everybody saw it. So she went and she took the newspaper. Everybody was talking about it at my former job. They were passing it around. She showed my old boss that article because she called me and later told me. When I tell you and the listeners and the fans of Hair Radio, I will never forget the moment. I will never forget the moment that she told me that she showed my old bosses and my department and everybody that I was in the newspaper. That melted away all the struggles and headaches, and it still reigns as one of the best moments of my life to be able to show them that I could make it on my own and be a success. So that Jesse Jackson was pivotal as an early guest, but then from there I went on to some other, you know, guests. You were going to say something, Otto?
No, I was just thinking as you were sharing. I appreciate you sharing. Thank you to all the fans that story, because it's another example of you're walking down. You know, you left your job. You know, like myself. You know, I'm painting, but I'm juggling and trying to make it with you and the radio and all the things I'm trying, and everybody should try, you know, to live out their dream. As you were walking, who knew 700 shows later? You know what I mean? Like, you walk down that block not knowing.
Right. That's right. I had no idea.
Right.
I had no idea where it was going. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Well, let me tell you, that was that moment. But my other favorite moment was connecting with the gentleman who, you know, and I've told this before, but he's one of my favorite early guests, the creator of TV shows like Good Times. He created the George Jefferson character, along with Norman Lear at CBS. And so he played, he actually wrote a lot of the episodes, you know, and his name is Eric Monte, by the way, and I just loved him so much because I grew up on watching Good Times and The Jeffersons and What's Happening and What's Happening Now and all of that, and a big movie in black households called Cooley High. And so he was the writer of that. So those were things that, you know, I was impressioned by. So when this gentleman came onto the Hair Radio Show and had special words to say to me and to the fans of Hair Radio, well, I took that to heart. And that was a memory that I could probably never forget. And he personally welcomed me back to radio as well. So those were moments. And, of course, you know, how can I not say superstars? You know, I go back to Montel Jordan being on an early version of the Hair Radio Show when he was in the midst of his This Is How We Do It hit record. CC Peniston, this is when they were literally on the top of the charts. And Montel Jordan was talking in the studio with the young Christina Milian, who went on to her own show and success and all that. And he was telling us, I have all of that on tape. Sure, he was telling us at Hair Radio. And so then that went on to so many things. But if I have to really narrow it down, could I narrow it down to one guest? I mean, I love Melba Moore, you know, CC Peniston, Tony Terry, Allison Williams, you know, David Pink Conley. David Pink Conley was great from the group Surface. you know, and what's a big song called Only You Can Make Me Happy. That was a great song back in like the 80s. So a lot of these people have had careers in recent years. They're still out touring, a lot of them, but they've been on our show. And because, you know, our listenership, I look at our numbers every day and I know the demographics. I know who's listening. I know the people and I know the age. And we have young people, everyone from like early 20s on up to folks who are in their 60s and 70s tuning into the show. It crosses across a long, big border. Just about everybody, because we give, you know, there's just something in it for everybody on the show. There really is. And then on our network, we play different things that go to different people. We have special features. Next month, we're doing investigative reporting. We did some recently with a special on parents in prison. We talk about community, as we say on Hair Radio. Our tagline is hair, beauty, and community. And that's what is a big thing for us. But so yesterday we had some great moments. So that's one of those are some of my favorite guest standouts. Of course, so many others that I can't even name. And on the hair and beauty industry side, I guess you know, it's a little tough. I've loved Peggy Dotson being on the show. I love Dr. Ragland being on the show and our advertisers. I love the product companies. I love so many people. Literally thousands have dropped by our show in the last 7 years of the morning edition. So it's been incredible. And I'm looking forward to what's next. We're not going to do any more celebration shows. Now, that could change, but I'm going to say it right now. We're not doing any more celebration shows until we get to 1,000. So we're now. You probably won't. You'll only be counting with me each day. And then when we get to 1,000, that's what we're pushing towards next. So I am looking forward to that. I want to talk a little bit about some of the guests who were on yesterday. Who was your favorite guest, Otto? And speaking of favorites, who was your favorite guest that appeared on our celebratory show, our 700th episode of this live show? Who was your favorite guest? And I'm putting you on the spot here because they're going to be mad if you don't say them.
Of course.
So who was your favorite guest, Brother Otto?
Michael Hopkins, Vet Talk Radio.
Michael, get out of here. Why?
He's the winner.
Although we love Michael, but why?
Just what he does, the man he is. And, you know, you think about I know a little bit about paperwork, governmental paperwork, and what he must go through, just to bring the vets waiting and hear yes or no, am I qualified, and the angels for producing it, you know. Katrina, Noor, Nicole, the work they put in. I really sat back and listened to the show with Michael, and
wow.
Yeah, it was just heartfelt, man, what he's doing for the vets. He never lets them forget their service, you know, and can't imagine his days are filled with, hearing the stories and all. So he's a special place in my heart yesterday's show, actually.
Awesome. I'm going to say this. He was fantastic. He was great on the Hair Radio Morning Show as well in our little preview. I'm going to say he may qualify as the most important guest because his work is so critical. And so we salute Michael and his fans and all that he's doing over there along with the angels.
Absolutely.
So I'll tell you, I had a couple of folks because we started the day with a special introduction to the show, which I call a cold opening, and that was with Statewide Chip.
Yeah.
Statewide Chip did a great job. Was he not awesome?
He did a great
job in creating the right sentiment and telling us that we must continue and we're just getting started. And those really are the words that I live by and I say every day. And so from there to bring on, and, you know, there's a lot of maneuverings behind the scenes. Eugene is usually a 7:30 talker with us on Tuesdays. but I had to make sure he understood. Eugene, we're going to be on an hour earlier, so because they got to sometimes let their fans know that their time slot is moving and stuff. So I have to do all this happens behind the scenes. So his special was on at 6:30. He had a special guest that was on with him, Mr. Thompson, who was incredible and was credible and incredible and shared a lot. And so that particular piece, I had to make sure that he knew so that he might want to tell Mr. Thompson to tune in with all his fans. And so all this stuff takes place behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So we knew that we were going to kick off in the first part of our show with that. And then I'm like, Eugene, I want you to come back. We have a slot around 8 o'clock that we need a great live guest to be on and talk a little bit on some of the impact of what this show has meant to you. And so that's what he did. And, you know, and so we're very straightforward following a lot of that. Bring back, like I said, recent folks. Well, Mary, she's been with us over the years. But I had already realized weeks ago that I wanted Mary to be a pivotal part of the program, which transitioned from the first part into the middle part of the show. Mary's been with us many, many years. So she's already talked a lot with me over different items. So I had to think, what could I do and talk with Mary about that would still be fresh and new?
Yeah.
Well, there's always something to share on Hair Radio. I think our fans already know that by now.
Yeah.
So Mary and I got into a whole bunch of brand new talk, and I'm going to have to replay that probably tomorrow or at some point soon. But it was incredible. So that was the bridging that we needed. And then we got into live talk, and it was incredible. The live talk that we had, which I'm going to play a little bit of this morning as soon as we can get on, from yesterday, because it was really quite moving. And, you know, so that's kind of what was going on now. What about... okay, Michael's your favorite guest. Now, was there a favorite moment that you had on the show, Otto? And I'll tell you what mine was.
I believe it was all the guests calling in and you know, congratulating you. I was proud for you. I was sitting back.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was sitting back smiling, and because you deserve it. You know, you've brought so much to the hair, beauty, and community. Through my listening, and I'm sure all the other fans, but I'll tell you, there was a funny one. I don't want to go backwards, but when you were speaking with Mary Reed Johnson about the ambush makeover, I thought that was so funny. When
you know, what did I say? What happened?
The show, they used to pull up in the van, and they would jump out and get a pedestrian, you know, give them a makeover. I just personally thought that was a lighthearted part of the show. I really enjoyed that little story, but that was the lighthearted.
Yes.
But the most important part.
That's actually a true story. Yeah, that's
it's
a very
funny,
true
yeah.
story. Yes,
I enjoyed
and
it.
I used to
I
watch
enjoyed
that.
It.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Otto, for that. Yeah, I used to watch that on TV every day here in New York. Now, I'll tell you my moment that one of the most memorable moments to me happened during the live chat yesterday. And the live chat is when we come on about mid-show, between 7 and 8, usually with some, you know, some what's happening mid-show.
Yeah.
And a recap of things that you might be hearing or what have you. And so we did that. And I think we went on about 7:30. New York time yesterday, and I think, Otto, I think you were part of that moment, because it's very rare that I'm rendered speechless, and I just, you were so kind in your communication about getting to the 700th show that I didn't know. We didn't talk about that in advance.
No.
I had no idea what you were going to say or get into. but I found myself not being able to, I was trying to talk, but words were not able to come out of my mouth.
Mm.
And what I appreciate about Otto, you jumped right on in and carried the moment, which was awesome. I did notice that, especially when I listened back to the show. And so I thank you for that, Otto, because it, you know, what it is that when I look at, there are moments that I look at what we've accomplished, but it's not so much about the success, it was of the hardships that I've had to endure.
There you go.
There were some very tough times over the years, and so they're never far from memory. And what I'm reminded of that during these milestones, or when I'm on stage, or signing an autograph, or you know, selling a hair product, or teaching a class, or inspiring students. I'm reminded of the hard times, and they were tough. They were tough, but I persevered. I persevered.
Right.
And so when you mentioned it was some kind of way that you had said the kind words about what the show's been since you've been here, it really reached in, and I could not help it. I was just totally moved, and I think a lot of the fans, I heard a little bit about that, and you know, and it was quite good to hear and play back. Because it was from the heart. It was from the heart. And that's all that, you know, that's what Hair Radio is all about. It's from the heart every day.
Well, you give hope, Curry. And that's what I got from
Thank
the show.
You.
I met you, you know, at the Javits Center, the International Beauty Show. And from that moment, you know, you made all my thoughts of my, you know, my correct, you know, right. Like I wasn't wrong. I'm not this. So you give hope, and that's you don't know what you do to people if you're kind. You know, people are nasty and all that. It lasts forever.
Yeah.
You can scar somebody. You know, so you bring a whole nother feeling to myself and the fans and Michael and Katrina, all the people that you touched, man. And I, like I said, it's I'm so fortunate to find this show and listen and be a part of it that I can't even explain it in words, man. Thank you.
Thank you for that. No, I was just laughing because I don't know who was that. Was that Michael? Somebody sent me a message through social media. I just got a messenger message about the photo about Sidney Poitier in the wallet. That was a true story. It really was. Believe me. I had given a quick story yesterday about Diane Carroll traveling out when I was in the airlines, and she had traveled and her luggage. Now she ended up traveling on a different airline, but whatever happened, she checked her baggage in at the airline where I worked. I'm not going to name the name. And now it was like a, you know, not a pocketbook so much, but like a little carry bag. And it had a lot of personal items. So when I worked in the lost and found at the airline, at the airport, there was the bag belonging to Miss Diane Carroll.
Wow.
And I had to, it was our job. We had to look in. So I got some travel tips for you. So if, you know, if you lose a luggage or whatever, I can fill you in on all that kind of stuff. I'll talk to you about that another time. But so I go through the luggage, as I'm just retelling the story from yesterday. I go through the luggage, and again, if you're just joining us, I'm talking about some of the favorite moments from yesterday's iconic 700th live show. And when I worked at the airlines, you know, several decades back, I think it was. Anyway, and my former supervisor, who's still a good friend of mine to this day, I don't even think he knows about this story. But I go through her luggage. We're all going through, all of us in Lost and Found. All of us. We know whose bag it is. And she was sending messages back and forth. You know, can you guys please take care of this bag? So, of course, she's a VIP. We're going to make sure that the bag gets back to her.
Right.
So anyway, we look through and we see her. She had like an address book, and she had lots of famous people in there. I remember Ashford and Simpson were also in that book. The phone number and their name, John Forsythe, was in there. There were different people that, you know, because she was on Dynasty. She had been on Dynasty. So this was after that. And I remember, you know, like I said, there was a separate black and white photo that I'll never forget as long as I live. Even though I know she had been married already to Vic Damone at that time, a singer, Vic Damone back in the old days. But she had a picture, and it was a picture of the actor Sidney Poitier. I had no idea till much later that she had, that apparently they had this big love affair. I had no idea at the time. So, but it just tells you that she was still married to somebody else at that time. So that's all I'm going to say. I don't mean to imply anything. I'm just telling you the truth. So I never forgot that moment. So, yeah, that was a, you know, so for you guys out there, if you want to know a little tidbit, that's a juicy tidbit from my mouth to your ears. So that's, you know, and I love being in the Lost and Found. So I certainly can't mention the airline because they will kill me. But I got to, we had lost Joan London's luggage. We lost her luggage. She was there, Soupy Sales. I got to speak with all these old-time famous people. I remember chatting with, what was her name? Can We Talk? Joan Rivers. So all these people. So, yeah, it was, and as I said, Grace Jones, of course, as well. So lots of people. So, hey, great show. Listen, I have a surprise guest really quickly I wanted to bring on the line, who I just love her. She's just been so much fun on the show. And so you guys have listened. You've heard her brand-new commercial right here on the show. And if you haven't, you're going to hear it right now. And then we're going to get her on with us live on the air. So take a listen to this. Otto, I think you're going to appreciate this as well. So here's our surprise guest joining us this morning. Here's the commercial first. Take a listen.
I have a product called Organic Love Collection Shea Butter. It's a sensual shea butter. And once you apply it, it reinvigorates the skin. It takes care of blemishes. Hyperpigmentation. It has all kinds of beautiful oils in it. And what it does for the hair, the nails, and the skin is to renew it and to make you feel beautiful, and moreover, to restore you to self-love and self-care. We're a Christian organization, and we're in the community trying to educate people on eczema, psoriasis, breaking hair, alopecia, things of that nature. And this product is a cure-all for the whole family. If you grab the jar or the bottle, it comes in a liquid and solid. It deals with eczema within 3 days. The longest it'll take is 7 days to restore your skin. And most of all, it's great for the scalp and very uplifting to the hair. It keeps the hair moist and free of breakage. And moreover, manageable. So as you work with it, if you have natural hair, it won't break. And if you have permed or color processed hair, it'll continue to allow for it to have the elasticity it needs so that your mane grows beautiful and healthy. Currently, we are on social media. We're a business that's just starting out. So I started on Instagram, once again, Instagram. And the name of the company is Organic Love Collection. And we can also be found through Instagram on Big Cartel. So the product could be purchased at organiclovecollection.bigcartel.com.
Repeat that one more time.
Organiclovecollection.bigcartel.com.
Organic Love Collection. Let me bring to the line a very special surprise guest co-host for this next part of our broadcast. it is my honor to welcome back our newest advertiser to the advertising family and to the family at Hair Radio, Shanta from down in South Jersey. Good morning and welcome to the live broadcast. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Shanta Love. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Yes. Well, I am so excited to have you. Otto, Otto's here with us. Quiet, Otto. Are you there, Otto? Good morning.
Oh, yes. Good morning, Shanta. How are you?
Good morning to you. I'm very well. Thank you.
I love your commercial.
Yes.
And, well, you know, welcome to the family.
Yes, yes,
oh,
yes.
Thank you so much. So excited. And
yes.
It's an honor to be a
yes,
yes.
Shanta, did we lose you there?
No, it's an honor to be among you. I was trying not to speak over you. I'm so busy smiling. Yes, what a wonderful morning.
Yes, well, listen, this. Let me tell you how it works over here. You are absolutely just precious to us, and just getting to know you has been a joy. And what happens, yes, or because our fans, they think we're all sitting at the same lunch, you know, breakfast table. Pass the grits over there. But we're not. You know, we're not.
No.
We're all, we're literally in different areas.
Yes,
we really are. Yeah.
And you're doing
so,
it so passionately. It's so exciting to hear your stories. And to learn new things each day, yes, you certainly offer a plethora of exciting stories in the morning, and you get me up and going. So
thank you. Well, it's a great joy. You know, I really have to say, I think one of the favorite things that I get to do is to encounter amazing folks that that the world may have not known about. And that's something that I love. And so meeting folks like Otto, meeting folks like Shanta, meeting folks out there, my big thing is the real message that I have. I love everybody who tunes in. I love young people. I love middle people. I love older people. But the big message here is that it's never too late to live the
right
dreams that you wish. It's never too late.
I agree.
Don't
this life
ever think it's too late.
Yes, I agree. This
yes
life is to be lived with passion. And also, just the miracle of love. If you're a loving person, it makes life so much sweeter. You create, people that love create heaven on earth. And I definitely want to give ease to all people. I came up with my product because my daughter had eczema. At 4 months, that's when you begin to introduce table food to children. And I thought I was doing a good thing by offering her organic food.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, it was processed. And she began to have food allergies. So in a loving effort to try to solve it, I'm a nurse, I came up with this product, and I began to apply it, and it
And
it
hold
worked
it. Let's just give the name again. It's Organic Love Collection. I want them to know. It's organic
love collection. It's essential
yes
shea butter. You can put it in your hair. You can put it everywhere. But the thing that it does most is that we moisturize skin naturally. I only put organic ingredients into it. The body, within the body, the skin is the largest organ, and it's the first thing you see. So it should be beautiful and radiant and supple. And then after that, the hair. Your hair is your crown. So with my poor little baby being so crusted like a little sugar cookie, I began to apply
right
this product, and guess what? It worked. So my family encouraged me to bottle it. So
yes,
sure
yes
enough, I went to production during COVID. Everybody had to have several lines of income during COVID. I went into production.
That's right.
I was coming across people that was experiencing eczema and other autoimmune issues with the skin because of the
right
stress
right
of COVID. Guess what?
True.
The product was healing my community. So I said, okay, let me take it the next notch. Mm-hmm. And I went into formal production, got some labels, and I became a 501(c). And I go out.
Congratulations.
And
yeah.
And I offer this product to women to uplift them. We couldn't make it to the Caribbean during COVID, but surely I put enough organic coconut oil in it to make you feel like you were laying on the beach being in a luxurious.
Oh, that sounds awesome. I'm just loving it. I really am. First of all, I take my hat off to you. Kudos. Being a person in business, a woman, a lady out there in business, you know, it's incredible. You're inspiring so many young women just with your story and the fact that you are doing it. So I appreciate the kind words you say to me, but I am grateful that you're doing what you're doing.
Serving others always gives me joy. And to formulate this product has really put me in touch with the community. I'm also a nurse, so guess what? I think many times people in the brown and black communities suffer hypertension. And many times we don't realize what you apply to your skin enters the bloodstream within 20 minutes. So I don't use any preservatives, no fragrances, nothing artificial. And most of all, I do not put salt in my products. Usually salt derivatives are used in beauty products as a thickener. Those of you know shea butter and its consistency is naturally thick. So salts weren't added. And it usually comes with a smell, an authentic shea butter smell. Through my whipping process, guess what? It comes odorless. So everyone in the house could use the same bottle, and I don't put fragrance in it. And lately we've had designers such as Tom Ford making his beautiful colognes, and I noticed that most native New Yorkers are into, you know, these beautiful fragrances that are very expensive. So guess what? When you apply my product, you don't have to worry about it clashing with your other fragrances. And also, it absorbs in 90 seconds. Once again, it absorbs in 90 seconds.
Well, Shanta, I've got to say, my favorite part, and this is really true, I love your commercial for Organic Love Collection. I'll tell you why, because nobody can say the words, shea butter. You say, I've never heard any, you really... You sound like you're right sitting next to me here in New York City. You really do. I love how you say that. I played a commercial literally just so I can hear you say shea butter.
I met Shanta and her entrepreneurship and her attention to detail. And when I first met her and the shea butter, it was like, wow. I mean, I've heard it in general, but, man, with the way she presented that.
The way she said it, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Organic Love Collection, we're loving it. Well, listen, Shanta, we're going to have you to just hang out for a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit more about your products and talk about a little bit more about getting to know Shanta. First, we're going to take a little bit, something I didn't get a chance to do yesterday, and I really want to do. I love music. And we're not just going to play old school, because I play old school here every single day. The list is what we usually feature a whole bunch of. I think I played every Chaka Khan song that there is. But today I'm turning to, as Dionne Warwick said when we talked to her, she said the kids, the babies, I think she put it, are running the industry. And here it's a good example of that, but in a good way. Of course, I love Dua Lipa and all these folks that are out there these days, The Weeknd and all those folks. But this artist, Alessia Cara, she has a great song that I absolutely love that I uncovered while I was literally looking for the Chaka Khan version of Stay. I found Alessia's version, and you guys know her. She's the one that sings the Scars, the beautiful song. Trust me that you know that song. It's a big, big hit. But this song you may not know as much just yet, but you're going to know it today. And I love it. It's a great tune, a great beat. And then we're going to be back to with more and our special surprise guest, Shanta, who's going to tell us more about Organic Love Collection and what's next, and also what's next at Hair Radio. We've got more to come. Otto's here with us. Shanta's on the line. And me, Kerry Hines. Right now, it's Stay. And stay with us.
Waiting for the time to pass you by. Hope the winds of change will change your mind. I could give a thousand reasons why. And I know you, and you've got to make it on your own, but we don't have to grow up. We can stay forever young. Living on my sofa, drinking rum and cola underneath the rising sun. I could give a thousand reasons why, but you're going, and you know that. All you have to do is stay a minute, just take your time. The clock is ticking, so stay. All you have to do is wait a second.
Thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Kerry Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
It's time to rise and shine with The Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
This is Queen Treat, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Terry Hines.
So I have to say, statewide Chip, what do you want to tell the listeners? And the fans out there, you've got fans who know who you are. What would you like to tell them about our 700th live show and beyond? What would you like to tell the folks?
I would definitely like to just tell everybody that the 700 is definitely not the end. We're going above that, above and beyond.
Yeah.
So 700 is definitely a big milestone. Congratulations to you and the Hair Radio Network. But 700 is just the beginning. We're going to get there a million times over. So I just want everybody to go ahead and stay tuned and pay attention to what's going on, because we definitely got a whole bunch of good, great, everything that's going on is definitely about to be, you know, something spectacular. So pay attention. We're making history. 700 is just the beginning.
Awesome.
It's just the beginning. So we definitely moving. Congratulations on 700, but that's just the beginning.
All right, we're back live. It is Wednesday morning. It's April 20th of 2022. It is our show number. This is our first show past 700. So it is our show number 701 this morning. And you guys have been listening. We've been chatting with an incredible, incredible guest. You've gotten a chance to hear about her amazing Organic Love collection. And she's a surprise guest caller this morning into the show. We're talking about Shanta, who was with us out of South Jersey, and also, of course, our irrepressible announcer Otto's back with us as well. Welcome, folks. Welcome, everybody. You know, we're kind of winding it down here on today's broadcast. But I got to say, it's great to have you with us, Shanta. This is a nice surprise. So,
Thank you.
We're real happy. So I want to ask you more about your products. And Otto, of course, it's always great to have you with us throughout each show. So you know that, sir.
Shanta,
I want to turn to you. I want to ask you about, you've mentioned about Organic Love Collection, but the question I have not asked you yet, who inspired you? Somebody inspired you. We can hear it in your voice. We hear it in your passion, the way you talk about shea butter. I can't say it like you say it. But who inspired you?
My dad actually inspired me.
Oh.
He told me that he thought the product was beautiful and that he was suffering from, I think, fourth stage renal failure at the time.
Oh,
and he needed
kidney
donation. So what I found out, shea butter is a medicinal item. So it definitely reinvigorates you to feel better. So during the time when he was extremely ill and he lost his appetite, which is called anorexia, to encourage him to eat, we would put the essence of peppermint in it. And the smell of peppermint just automatically wakes you up.
That wakes up everything.
Yes, and also increases circulation to the skin and to the scalp. Mm-hmm. So guess what? He began to feel better. His skin became beautified again. And usually when people are on dialysis, they kind of have like a purplish green look to them. That look diminished.
His hair began to grow.
Yes, and he felt so much better. And then during times when he was depressed and he was losing hope for gaining this new kidney. We would put chamomile and lavender in it to, you know, rebuke depression, and he would feel better, and it would bring back a position of joy. And we began to put different holistic oils into it all, which you know as essential oils. And guess what?
Right.
We healed him for aromatherapy. So this product is really something that can go the gamut because it's a natural product. I put all organic ingredients. Many of the ingredients are imported, and they come with a certificate of authenticity of being organic.
I love that. Well, the fans are going to hear your commercial throughout time here on our broadcast, and I'm so grateful to have you to drop by today. It's a great pleasure and honor to have you. Can you please tell everybody, remind everybody, we're going to be reminding them going forward as well, but please take a moment since we got you live. Remind everybody how they can get their hands on Organic Love Collection.
Okay. Organic Love Collection can be found on organiclovecollection.bigcartel.com. And moreover, if you go to Instagram, Organic Love Collection can be found there. I do infomercials on health and wellness, and I'm definitely tangible to the community to uplift us as a people and welcome to the miracle of love, because that's the first thing we need in healthcare. That's the first thing for you to do better and to be mindful, to eat well. Your skin is the largest organ of your body, and I promote healthcare through skin, mind, body, and soul. So if you're eating well, you're taking care of your skin, you're drinking your water, guess what? You have no other choice than to have a beautiful mane of hair and also beautified skin. So when you present yourself to the world, you could come forward with confidence. Yes, and that's the most exciting thing about Organic Life Collection.
I could just listen to you all day, Shanta.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Let me just say thank you to everybody. Thanks to Shanta, of course. Thanks to Otto. Thanks to everybody for making this a true great experience today on the show past our 700th mark. We had a great time to look back at the incredible broadcast, our iconic Hair Radio Show. The Hair Radio Show is iconic. Not too many shows can say that. So thank you so much for making this a great experience again. Hey, normally we end with our outro, and we thank and all the wonderful folks, da-da-da-da-da. But today I wanted to take a moment. We rarely play a song on the way out, so we're going to do that today. I mentioned Alessia's song. This was the big hit that you guys all know. We'll see you back here for a new edition tomorrow at 6 a.m. for a live broadcast of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We got a special guest tomorrow joining us. You're going to be surprised. Have a great, great Wednesday, everybody. Thanks again, everybody. Here's Scars to Beauty.
She just wants to be beautiful. She goes unnoticed. She knows no limits. She craves attention. She praises an image. She prays to be sculpted by the sculptor. Oh, she don't see the light that's shining. Deep within the eyes can find it. Maybe we are made of blind souls. She tries to cover up her pain and cut her woes away. Discover girls don't cry after the face is made. But there's a hope that's waiting for you. She's starving, you know, cover girls eat nothing, she said.